Thank you for joining us for the segment of Notable People with your host, Andrea Schwartz, where we introduce you to some notable people making significant contributions toward furthering the kingdom of Christ.
Welcome to this edition of Notable People. My guest today is Steve Macias, West Coast Regional Coordinator for an organization called Students for Life of America, which is a pro-life activist organization that has a very defined purpose, and I will let Steve tell us about it. So, Steve, thanks for taking some time out of what I know to be a very busy schedule to join us today.
I'm really glad to be here.
You're a young man, you're in your early 20s, but you're anything other than interested in the nonsense of our day, which a lot of your peers might spend a lot of their time doing. So tell us a little bit about how you got to the place you are now.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with me being a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was not too much interested in the world of politics or the world of human action or really caring for people whatsoever. But as soon as Christ entered the picture, the defense of our families and evangelicalization of the world kind of became my priorities, and that kind of steered where I spent my time.
So how did you focus your attention on the pro-life movement?
Well, my entrance into the pro-life movement began while I was in college. I had a couple pro-lifers come onto my campus while I was the student body president at Sacramento City College. While the students were apprehensive and complaining about them, I received dozens of phone calls asking them to leave campus, went down and met them, found out they were Christians, and they really challenged my pro-life position to do something, and I ended up bringing a graphic display to our campus that got me in a lot of trouble.
So clarify something for me. When you were confronted with these students, would you have considered yourself pro-life?
You know, pro-life for me used to mean something totally different than it does now today. Pro-life used to mean to me, I vote pro-life, I support pro-life political candidates, but really it was nothing more than that. I didn't understand that I was called to protect people that were being killed every single day. So today, pro-life to me means standing up for the voiceless. Then it meant voting for a candidate that said he was pro-life.
So when you talk about your position as student body president, was the pressure from the campus to just get this pro-life group with their graphic cards or placards out of the way so that you wouldn't have to deal with them?
Not initially. I first brought the pro-life demonstration up to our student government body, to our student council, and I mentioned I wanted to bring you the Genocide Awareness Project, which is a graphic display comparing abortion to genocides of our world's history. And the student council was completely in favor of bringing this on Constitution Day. Unanimous consent. Students were excited to see some diverse opinions. The apprehension came from the administration, who informed the student government that they shouldn't do things like this and really changed the mood after the demonstration showed up on campus.
So at that point, were you instructed to have them leave, or was it more they were trying to persuade you to change your stance?
No, it was very clear what they wanted. On the day of the event where the graphic display came to campus, they came to my classroom and pulled me out and brought me to the vice president's office, where they had the captain of the police, campus police, a couple other vice presidents, and the student government advisor there to confront me about the pro-life display. The advisor for student government said that I had really made a big mistake inviting this group on the campus and that I needed to go down and tell them to leave. And of course, I refused. So the advisor took me out to the hallway, said, Steve, you're really making an ass out of yourself right now, and you need to go along with this. Of course, I continued to refuse, and a couple weeks later, the administration was circulating a recall petition, doing all kinds of sanctions against me for not going along with what they wanted.
Did that recall work?
Well, they've had this first recall election, which was not in conformity with any of the school's bylaws or constitution, which I complained about profusely. But they had the recall election, so I brought out several dozen people, handed out thousands of pieces of literature saying, stop the censorship, stop the recall. And the district took the results of this day-long election and held them and said that there must have been a technicality in the election results, so that we're not going to release them.
Is that because the recall hadn't worked or it had worked?
Well, it had worked. The administration ran a recall. They took ballots. There was no foul play from my part. I think the technicality was that I won, and that's not the result that they wanted. So they thought they would go to another means since the recall didn't achieve the result that they wanted.
So what was their next tactic?
Next tactic was they refused to recognize me as a student body president. They started revoking privileges. So I wasn't allowed to hold meetings. I wasn't allowed to represent student body, to speak on behalf of student body, because I was in trouble, because I had refused to represent the diversity of the campus by bringing a pro-life display on the campus. And so then they encouraged a pro-choice student to join student government in a vacant slot and write a resolution that said, we, the student body of Sacramento City College, no longer recognize Steve Macias as student body president. And they used this one senator to justify removing me from the seat.
Now, did that ultimately stand?
It stood for a couple of weeks until the Alliance Defense Fund came in and really put them in their place and threatened them with lawsuits and wrote them letters until they conceded to our demands to reinstate me as student body president and recognize that I was guilty of no wrongdoing. And that's really how it ended up there.
So at that point, what was the climate of campus like? Were pro-life groups still welcome on campus?
Yes, that was one of the concessions that we demanded from the administration, is that pro-life speech has to be respected on this campus. You can't target it and you can't usher it off campus because it's unpopular or because the administration dislikes it. So in their apology, they made a statement that pro-life speech will always be welcome at Sacramento City College campus.
That's good. I remember hearing at one point, I don't know if it was your campus or not, but there was a problem with regards to freedom of speech, and that there were teachers offering extra credit if people voted against you in this recall. Was that your campus?
I don't believe that was my campus, but I think that was in our area in the same school district here in Sacramento and Los Rios. The administration is very much involved in the politicalization of student issues and student government. At our sister school in American River College, they were heavily involved in a campaign against Proposition 8, which was the traditional marriage ballot. Mm-hmm. The campus really disliked that student body on that campus took a stand in support of traditional marriage. And it's really kind of funny that that was the previous year. So 1 year we have a Los Rios Community College School District school supporting gay marriage. And then the following year, we have a Los Rios Community College School District school really coming down on a pro-life display. And we can talk over and over again about how there is no neutrality in school and talk about these things. But when it comes to practice, it's not even a matter of them trying to claim neutrality. The community colleges, the public schools, they are very much one-sided and have an agenda, and that is definitely anti-Christian and anti-traditional values.
Okay, so some people would say it's such a lost wasteland of politically correct thought. The right move is for Christians not even to participate. But with the organization you're with now and with your position as West Coast Regional Coordinator, you're not going anywhere off college campuses, are you?
Definitely not. Definitely not. And that's for a variety of reasons. Obviously, I would encourage young men and women who are Christians to be seeking their biblical roles in education, whether that's as a man seeking for a job or the role for a woman. But when the issue of abortion comes around, the college campus is where we really need to be, because the majority of abortions are happening in this age group, this 18 to 24-year-old age group, where women are having multiple abortions during their college years.
And that's because the perception is if they were, now that they're pregnant, if they were to have their child, this would ruin their possibility of getting a degree and having a good career.
That is one of them. There's also just the culture of a college campus is not really conducive to the family values. The campus culture is promoting sex and the use of condoms and things like that, heavily dominated by organizations like Planned Parenthood, which encourage reckless sexual activity. And so over and over again, we see women who are falling into this trap that really is just a revenue generator for people like Planned Parenthood. This is a group of people who are being indoctrinated into this lifestyle, and it's really hurting them and encouraging the abortion mindset.
I finished reading a book recently called Unprotected, and it wasn't written by a Christian woman, but she had worked on college campuses, and she was bringing up how political correctness is really damaging to young people, but especially to women. And so you might have a woman who comes in to speak to a counselor who's depressed, and the subject of a previous abortion is never going to come up because that's not considered a justifiable reason to be depressed.
That's absolutely true. Today's liberal world at the college campus refuses to acknowledge that there could be anything negative that comes from an abortion, especially psychological or emotional damage. Because the minute that they say, you know, your abortion could make you sad or your abortion could make you depressed, then there's something wrong with abortion. It's not just a meaningless surgical procedure. And so women who are physically, emotionally, spiritually hurting on college campuses are not receiving the proper help. And there is no doubt that that is a horrible thing for women on college campuses who are suffering from this pain.
So it's pretty clear that the administration of most colleges are not very amenable to your message. Do you find that students are amenable to your message?
Definitely. I find, surprisingly so, there are literally large percentages of college students that identify themselves as pro-life on college campuses. Their opinion is just smashed out by the administration. When your college says our Pregnancy Awareness Week or our Sexual Awareness Week is going to be presented by Planned Parenthood, that doesn't give the pro-lifers an opportunity to share their position. In fact, it makes the pro-lifers feel like their position is incorrect or irrelevant or not welcome. What Students for Life is able to do is give them the means, the ideas, the encouragement to stand up for their pro-life position and really share it, something that the administration will and has and will continue to try to stop.
You know, I was once with my daughter, and it was a day that those who had been accepted to the university were supposed to come, and the university, of course, was hoping that they would decide to come, and so there was this whole courtyard of different student groups, and you were supposed to see what a great campus this was. And then there was the table for the local community pregnancy center, and nobody was around it. Two over were the gay, lesbian, and transvestite table, and then Planned Parenthood was not too far away. And this poor girl looked like she had just been sentenced to detention because she's sitting there with this pro-life literature. And so my daughter and I went up to her and said, thanks for being here. And she looked up kind of like, oh, you like this? And then we came back later on and the table was just empty. And you could just feel the antipathy of her presence and that table being there.
And that's definitely right. You know, Terry Weaver, who's from, you know, Birthright International, she's their national director, who does crisis pregnancy work like you're talking about. She really enjoys the work we do at Students for Life because of stories like that and our work we do across the nation. She's actually said that the Students for Life work is critical on college campuses because it's exactly what's needed to reach out to young women who are in these crisis pregnancies. But much too often, they're such a small group, or it's just one person from the Crisis Pregnancy Center who are able to reach out to the campus. But with Students for Life, we're able to develop these small, growing groups of 25 to 30 students on the campus who are able to do much larger, much more impactful things on the campus, especially in the area of crisis pregnancy.
Now, do you just restrict your work to outside the classroom, or do you also train those who become affiliated with Students for Life how to respond to professors and anti-life attitudes inside the classroom?
We actually do both. We do training, seminars, conferences on how to combat your biology teacher, how to go against your sociology teacher, how to understand where they're coming from, your legal rights inside the campus, and then how to reach the students who are on your campus. We do both things. I've even been invited inside of biology classes to speak straight from the teacher's desk on abortion, on the choice idea and the fallacy of it. So there is no limit on what Students for Life is doing as far as training young people to have a strong pro-life position, because it is the only biologically defensible position, but train young people to defend their position inside and outside the classroom.
Now, I know you're a Christian, and I know that you take your faith seriously. Does Students for Life shy away from particular denominational aspects, or are they willing to be upfront in their Christianity?
Students for Life takes the term secular. While I personally don't believe that there's anything that's secular, there's no neutrality in anything, because we work with such a diverse group of students, we're able to reach out to so many more without that title, a Christian organization or a Catholic organization, which really is one of the benefits of Students for Life, because we're able to be appealing to a group that's largely not Christian and really despises the term Christian, and we'll win them over eventually.
Would you say that most of the people who participate on campuses are Christian, or is there pretty much a cross-section?
I would say that our strongest leaders are definitely Christians, but there is undoubtedly a cross-section of students who participate. It's really amazing to me when I see abortion-minded students flip, even though they're atheist or something strange, and come to a pro-life position. It's especially strange because the resources and the worldview that brings them to the pro-life position is undoubtedly Christian. And even though they haven't come to acknowledge that Christ is the reason why they're pro-life, they're operating off of this borrowed Christian capital to reach a pro-life position. So it's actually amazing to kind of see that as these students are being discipled and trained up in the pro-life position. And it's impossible for Christ's love and Christ's truth to not rub off on them.
Well, I happen to have known Lila Rose, and I'm sure you're familiar with Lila.
Yes.
In what she's done. I knew her from the time she was a little girl. And her mother used to joke that when Lila was at UCLA, I'd say, what is she majoring in? And she'd say, pro-life. That's what she's majoring in. Not unlike some of the things that you had to do, Lila faced up to opposition on her campus. But how does a student become so involved in this issue and still be able to maintain his or her studies?
Really, being a pro-life student is not a huge time constraint. Obviously, if you step up and choose to be the student body president and the college Republicans chairman and work a full-time course load and have a job, you're going to be pretty busy. But most of our students take the philosophy of doing one thing a day to end abortion. And that's really been our idea behind Students for Life, is we can do so much in so little time with so little effort. It doesn't require 40-hour commitment to be an effective campus leader for the pro-life issue. It could be as easy as doing an event every 2 weeks or an event during your lunch period or your break period. This isn't something that takes over your life or has to take over your life. This is something that goes along with being a campus student who's involved in campus life and reaching out to your fellow peers.
Do you find that the students who are involved in your organization end up being who the people someone comes to and says, my gosh, I just found out I was pregnant and I don't know what to do?
Absolutely. In fact, we have a story here at Sacramento State University. We have a leader here, Megan Redmond, who has a bunch of stories just like that, where women come up to her because she is a Students for Life leader and share their crisis pregnancies or their trouble with abortion with her. In fact, just this past year, Megan was approached by a young woman who had had an abortion. She was post-abortive and wanted to find healing. Megan has events on campus where she advertises that find healing and forgiveness after an abortion. So this young woman came to Megan, joined the Students for Life group, found Jesus, found forgiveness, and was living a life of peace after her abortion. Soon after, she got involved with a young man and found herself pregnant. And she came back to Megan. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm pregnant, and I know I'm pro-life now, but how am I going to live with this decision I've made, this mistake I've made? Megan counseled her and offered her the support of the campus group, that they would take care of her. They had a baby shower for her, and they really offered her the emotional support that a young woman at that time needed to go through a pregnancy and So there is no doubt in my mind that the Students for Life groups are kind of like little crisis pregnancy centers on the campus that are directed by peers, someone that you feel and have a relationship with, are comfortable in going to with your issues. There is obviously something of a benefit if the person giving you counsel is the person you take English with, as opposed to some random lady from the Crescent Pregnancy Center across town. There's a certain comfort that they can't offer that Megan able to offer in that situation.
And there's, like as you said, there's proximity and there's regularity, and it's within the context of being a friend. I know that my daughter, when she was at a state university, was in a political science class where she was with another friend from church, and they used to sit next to each other in class. And when the professor said something that was off the wall or totally biased against Christianity, they would write notes to each other and sort of bolster each other. And then there were times when he would say something and one would get up and say something in terms of, no, that's not correct, you're not telling the whole story or whatever it is. And they could support each other in that framework. So I can see how if you're training students to be in classes together and maybe seek out classes that they could take together, that would help bring the conversation to the point of view that we so much want to share with people that is oftentimes so silenced within the universities.
And that's definitely true. Even people like R.J. Rush Jr. or H.L. Richardson have made comments about a dedicated minority, that you don't need to be the majority or have the entire classroom to lead the discussion. Having, like you said, two students in a classroom who are very vocal about their position can sway the teacher and the classroom in the direction of a pro-life position. And that's what happens on these college campuses. You have, like I said, 20 to 30 people who have this pro-life group who are demanding and commanding the position on life. They're really steering the campus's ideas on abortion and birth control.
And I imagine that one of the opportunities that you have in dealing with students who are coming to a realization that what they've been taught and what they thought wasn't necessarily correct, it gives you the opportunity to give them some ongoing instruction, put them in touch with people who can mentor them, not just so that they can be more effective in their pro-life posture, but just into adulthood themselves, because abortion is one of many issues that people have to rethink from the public education that they may have received.
Yes, the wonderful government education they received, their learning wasn't very wonderful, and it wasn't very comprehensive. It's really shocking to me to find out that every pro-choice student knows about the same four lines of rhetoric, but nothing deeper. Their position on abortion is 2 inches deep, and they really haven't considered the majority of the issues that surround abortion. So when a pro-life student says something like a heartbeat is detectable at 3 weeks, the student's life is, you know, thrown in a turmoil because they've never heard anything like this before, and it really challenges them because they've been misinformed or are largely ignorant of the issue. But the goal of Students for Life is, like you said, to raise up those leaders who will, once they graduate, be leaders in culture, whether that's in the life issue or a variety of other social issues or political issues that really peril our time. But the leadership they're receiving in Students for Life is undoubtedly a good and strong foundation for anything they want to do in political action.
I was having lunch with the local executive director of the pregnancy center in my area, and I was just curious. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I said, now, based on what you know, what's the percentage of people in this room that are probably post-abortive one way, shape, or form, whether as a, you know, a man who fathered a child and then either encouraged an abortion or an abortion took place without his knowledge or agreement, or a woman. And she said, over 40% just in this room. I imagine when you get to a college campus, that percentage escalates a lot, whether it's from the teachers and the students and alumni that may spend some time there. So you have quite a mission field.
Definitely. Definitely. And it's a very interesting mission field because of that specific statistic. Because so many women have gone through an abortion, they are particularly hardened to the issue. Because for them to say abortion is wrong is to really say, I did something wrong. And that's really difficult for a young woman to say. So in order for her to justify her mistake, she has to take a pro-choice position because she's denying not only the truth, but she's causing herself pain in making that decision. So that's why education is so important here, and the campus group and the peer relation, so that when the pro-life position comes to them, it's not a top-down position, but a person-to-person revelatory discussion that's really them discovering the truth.
Now, maybe just because I grew up in the 60s, I wasn't part of the student protest movement because I was just a little bit too young for that. But I know enough in talking to people who were that it's very, very easy for groups to be infiltrated. Have you ever experienced the people wanting to come and become part of Students for Life who really weren't on board with the pro-life message?
You know, not yet. I think that the pro-life position is a little bit too extreme for subversion yet. Not that the position itself is extreme, but that our culture is so lopsided and headed in the wrong direction that they view the pro-life position as extreme. So subversion hasn't happened yet. One thing I have noticed is, and this happens largely with Catholic groups, is they want to end all of the world's problems, from focusing on the death penalty to euthanasia to all of these things, focus on the pro-life mission. So the creep is probably the biggest subversion we have, is we want to fix everything right now instead of focusing on the 3,000 to 4,000 children that are being killed every single day in our country.
If someone who's listening either attends a school that does not have a Students for Life of America chapter there, how would they go about starting one?
Well, they can get in touch with me or our staff. We have staff in every state, with groups in every state in the country, and we can send you, as soon as you get in touch with us, a Get Started Activism Kit, which has our own Students for Life Activism Workbook, which teaches a student pro-lifer everything he or she needs to know about pro-life activism. And we can really get to work on your campus. You only need two or three people who are willing to spend a couple hours a week to start a pro-life group and to really be effective. We have online guides on how to plan events, how to host speakers, how to train students, how to recruit students. All this stuff is really easy to get involved into, and you could be saving lives on your campus this semester.
It's exciting. How would they get a hold of you, Steve?
Well, I'm reached by email. My email address is smacias, S-M-A-C-I-A-S, at studentsforlife.org. You can visit our website at studentsforlife.org, or even give me a call. I'll put my number on here, 916-705-5624. And I'm based out of California, Arizona, and Nevada. So if you are in a school in that area, I can help you directly, or I can hook you up with one of our staff members in the other states.
Now, I imagine that, like any organization, funds are sometimes sparse. Are you in a position that you can accept donations from people who may not have college-age children or don't spend any time on a college campus but think it's a valuable thing to support?
Absolutely. And we are a nonprofit organization, and all of donations are completely tax-deductible. But resources, and that means, go straight to the students. If you think about it, $2,000 is about the cost to start a pro-life group on a college campus. Now, that $2,000 goes a long way on a college campus. That will be a couple events, even hosting a speaker. We'll really encourage a group of college students to be involved at their collegiate level. Giving a donation to Students for Life is not something that goes towards me or our staff. It's something that we pump straight into the student body towards building that pro-life future.
We're coming to the end of our time here. I have one last question for you. Are you optimistic that abortion will end in America?
Absolutely. Our director, Kristen Hawkins, always says, we are working to end abortion in our lifetime. Now, for Kristen and I, that's a little bit more time than maybe some of the people listening, but I absolutely believe that the tide is turning, that Students for Life is a great example of how the tide is turning. With over 600 pro-life groups in this country, we are winning. We are gaining, person by person, the ideas, the people, and the momentum to really change this culture for life. And that's how it has to work. It has to happen from the bottom up. It has to happen from person to person. And that's exactly what we're doing at Students for Life, and it's going to happen.
Well, God bless your efforts, and thanks for finally connecting up with me. You've been a busy man these past couple of months, and so I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Visit us on the web at www.notablepeople.org.